Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I actually met my wife on CatholicSingles.com, if you can believe that.
Really?
And about... Yes, I had never done that before. Didn't have any problems with dating.
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content. But you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
And welcome to Real Living, Slovenia Spirito with Mary Lou Nemeček. And we are just started a series last time on predictions. We entitled it Predictions. And it's not really, I mean, you know, these are, it's just kind of a summary of senses and prophetic insights and just opinions that we've put together to kind of try to figure out how to think about the year 2020, you know, how to think about where our world is going, how to think about things when all our supports are knocked out from underneath us, how to think about things when you can't go to church, how to think about things when you cannot receive the Eucharist for 3 months, how to think about things when you can't even leave your house, and how to think about things when you're losing your livelihood. And how to think about things when arbitrary, seemingly arbitrary government regulation comes in and bankrupts small businesses. You know, how do you think about that? And how do you think of the fact that small businesses are bankrupted because people can't come in, and yet you have thousands of people without masks rioting and pillaging in the streets, and that's okay? You know, how do you think about that kind of stuff? It's easy to be cynical. But I would caution us, brothers and sisters, let's not be cynical. I don't really see Jesus as being cynical. I think Jesus was realistic. He wasn't a Pollyanna. I mean, he wasn't naive. But he kind of called a spade a spade. But the answer is not sarcasm. And I don't think it's cynicism. And I don't think it's, you know, whatever self-protection mechanism we have, self-defense mechanism we have in the face of hard times. I think a sobering, realistic point of view is to kind of examine what's out there, right? And we have collected some private revelation, so private, not public. Obviously, public is the scriptures and the oral sacred tradition and magisterial teaching. That's the deposit of the faith. And the things that we're proposing for you all in these shows are a matter of you can accept them or not, okay? They're supposed to be pointed towards a certain era of the time of the church. And really, I believe, and you believe, that the words that we are offering to you are very appropriate for the times that we are living in, specifically the year 2020 and beyond. Last time we talked about...
They are timely, and they're given to build us up. They're not given to scare us. There's something to be shared, and you can either, you know, accept it or not.
Well, pay attention is the most thing. How are you going to be prepared? Pay attention. Pay attention. Pay attention. Pay
vigilant.
Attention. That's what Jesus says. Be prepared. Be vigilant. Stay awake. It's the same thing that he's saying. He's been saying it for a long time in the Gospels, right? Every time the Gospel is proclaimed about the parable of the unjust, of the steward and the unjust, the master and the unjust servant, who's like dancing on the tables waiting, you know, thinking the master's never going to come home, and the master comes home in the middle of the night and throws him out, you know, that kind of parable, or the 10 virgins There's a lot of material out there, you know, that's really has to do with be prepared, because Jesus said, not even the sun knows the day or the hour. And are we saying this is the end of the world, Mary Lou?
I don't think
we're saying that.
We're in the end times. We have been since Christ ascended into heaven.
Exactly.
So, you know, we can't agree on that. But we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know if God's going to give us another breath this very second.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we need to get over ourselves here. But we do think that some of these people that we feel have real credibility have words for us that we should really think about.
That's right. And here, if we do anything in these shows, we're hoping we trigger thoughts and we trigger thinking about things and praying about things and perhaps diving below the surface. You know, as modern day Westerners, we're so used to just thinking on the surface. Like if an article is more than a page long, we skim it and then we give up, you know. A video on YouTube is more than 3 minutes, forget it. I'm not sitting here for 10 minutes to blah, blah, blah. You know, if the news, the sound bites on the news have to be between 30 and 60 seconds because it's not people's attention.
That's right.
You know, their concentration. So this might require a little bit more than 30 or 60 seconds or 10 minutes of your time. But I would submit to you that this time that you spend looking into this stuff and thinking and praying through it is going to be worth it. Very much worth it. All right. Are we so fixed on the world that is passing away that we are unprepared for the end of all things that is rushing towards us now? Like I said before, we're not saying this is the end of the world, but we are saying we are definitely in the end times. The end times could last thousands of years. Of course, we know that because before the Lord, a day is like a thousand years.
Years.
And 1,000 years is like a day. So time is relative because God is pure spirit and he stands outside the space-time continuum. So all time before God is now. All time before God is now. Keep that in mind. So God is not hampered by what happened in the past and by what will happen in the future. The future is no surprise to him. And I think it's a consolation for us that all the future of the world and all the present is in God's hands. And even the past is in God's hands because all time is now before the throne. So last time we kind of started out with, we started out with the Second Vatican Council about reading the signs of the times and opening up the doors to the Holy Spirit in the 20th century. And then we continued on with an article by interview by Joseph Ratzinger, then Archbishop, with a German journalist about his famous prediction about how the church would become smaller, about how the buildings would go away, about a time perhaps of persecution and a time of suffering that would purify and refine the church, all right, in the face of the modern world. And then we went forward a little bit, like, I don't know, 6 years, and in May 1975, when there was the Catholic Charismatic International Renewal Conference in Rome on the catacombs of St. Calixtus with a closing mass in St. Peter's Basilica. And like I was saying last time, I was actually there, part of the conference, and I do remember Ralph Martin giving this famous prophecy about how buildings and structures that we were depending upon were going to be removed, and that basically, it was a call to vigilance and preparation for his people. And he closed it out with saying, when you have nothing but me, this is the Lord speaking, you will have everything. And, you know, like I was sharing with you earlier, Mary Lou, in the past show, at the time, I was thinking, this is never going to happen when I'm alive. This is something that's going to happen maybe, you know, in the next century. This is going to happen some other time.
Right? Sure. So don't worry about it.
I'm just going to keep going, but this is not something I have to worry about. And then the year 2020 rolls around, and we have a worldwide pandemic, a worldwide recession, a shutdown, a lockdown, people dying like flies, international civil unrest, riots, looting, natural disasters. And that's only June.
Yeah. Well, you know, Ralph Martin, when he gave a talk recently at the gathering, he used the word shaken, that we've all been shaken. And I think that is just a great word to use, because everything we sensed was normal in our normal routine has been shaken because of the pandemic. You know, our jobs, our income, our lifestyle, just being able to travel and be with family. We've been isolated. There's been so many things that have really shaken us to the core. And, you know, what we're discussing here is to take that shaking and make some sense out of it for our own good. You know,
hold on to the thing that cannot be shaken.
Right.
Hebrews 12, hold on. The world is being shaken. Hold on to the kingdom that cannot be shaken. The kingdom of God. Right.
So that's stable thing.
Exactly. The one stable thing. And we do really need to rely upon that. So that was in 1975. And several strong prophecies were given that spoke of a time coming when the structures that are there won't be there anymore, and that the Lord was going to use this time to draw us into a deeper union with himself. So it wasn't just Ralph's prophecy. There were several really sobering words. Move ahead 1 year, and in 1976, Father Mike Scanlon, who was the president at the time, he was president of the Franciscan University of Steubenville and a close friend and partner of Ralph Martin, gave another prophecy, which was, again, it had to do with things being removed. You know, I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to go ahead and give us Ralph Martin's analysis with some of the comments from the peanut gallery, you and me, yes, in the middle as well. Son of man, do you see that city going bankrupt? Are you willing to see all our cities going bankrupt? Are you willing to see the bankruptcy of the whole economic system you rely on, so that all money is worthless and cannot support you? Son of man, do you see crime and lawlessness in your city streets and towns and institutions? Are you willing to see no law, no order, no protection for you except that which I myself will give you? Son of man, do you see the country which you love and which you are now celebrating, a country's history that you look back on with nostalgia? Are you willing to see no country to call your own except those I give you as my bodies? Will you let me bring you life in my body and only there? Son of man, do you see those churches which you can go to so easily now? Are you ready to see them with bars across the doors, with doors nailed shut? Are you ready to base your life only on me and not on any particular structure? Again, that word. Are you ready to depend only on me and not on all the institutions of schools and parishes that you are working so hard to foster? Son of man, I call you to be ready. That is what I am telling you about. The structures are falling and changing. It is not for you to know the details now, but do not rely on them as you have been. I want you to make a deeper commitment to one another. I want you to trust one another, to build an interdependence that is based on my spirit. It is an interdependence that is no luxury. It is an absolute necessity for those who will base their lives on me and not on the structures from a pagan world. I have spoken, and it will take place. My word will go forth to my people. They may hear and they may not, and I will respond accordingly. But this is my word. Look about you, son of man, when you see it all shut down, when you see everything removed that has been taken for granted, and when you are prepared to live without these things, then you will know that I am making you ready. That's a pretty chilling word, isn't it?
It is. And it's good that Ralph went through to explain it a little bit further, because it can shake you to the core. And fear when you really contemplate it.
So the first sentence is just grabs you by the neck, because it's like, are you willing to see the bankruptcy of the whole economic system you rely on? You know, we're kind of skirting towards the edge here, you know,
yep,
with the business closing and all that stuff, right?
We're trying to check that box. Yes, we're living through this. You know, we have seen the stock market fall, the pandemic, all the unrest in the streets. People that, you know, unfortunately have been furloughed or may lose their jobs. And it's so unexpected. And it came so quickly, too.
And then again, son of man, do you see the crime and lawlessness in your city streets? Yeah.
Yes.
And not only The thing that happened to me was not only were we seeing it in the United States, we were seeing it in India and in Europe and in Japan, you know? Why would people in Japan or in India riot about what happened in the United States?
Well, and he, like you just mentioned a little bit earlier about, you know, the book of Hebrews about the world will be shaken. Mm-hmm. And Ralph says the church is going to be shaken. And that shakes me when I think about that. Whatever can be shaken will be shaken from the book of Hebrews. And we're seeing that.
Right. Absolutely. So, you know, decide what you're going to be hanging on to when everything is shaking. You know, you want to hold on to something that's fairly solid, hopefully, right?
Right.
Especially in the middle of crime and lawlessness. I mean, you know, I don't think in any town in the world, really, have we not seen some form of protest. Now, protests are all well and good. I get the protests. I get being so disenfranchised that the only thing you can do is go march in the street. I get that. But I don't get the looting and the rioting night after night, day after day. I don't get the killing and the maiming of police officers who had nothing to do with what was going on. I don't get the call to defund police departments. It's the stupidest thing I think I've ever heard. Yeah. I just don't get that. I don't get all of that. And yet, to me, that's a symptom of the disease.
We're not allowing the rule of law to work. You're an attorney. I mean, you know, we know that things have happened that shouldn't have happened, and people need to be taken into account for it legally. You know, we're unwilling to let that process go forward because we want to, you know, not just the protests have turned into riots, and the destruction has come along with that. And, you know, the sad part is that the political correctness has taken effect, let me put it that way. Mm-hmm. And that's always destructive. I mean, everyone has to have the freedom to say what they believe and to respect that. I mean, it's really taken on kind of a virulent turn right now.
Well, a distressing turn, because how do you get from the actions of one bad guy or two, or let's say even 20, let's sum up all the police brutality in the past 25 years, 30 years, and boil it down to what, 30 episodes maybe? I don't know. And they're awful. But how do we go from there to running over policemen on the street just because they wear the uniform, you know?
Right.
And how do we go from there? I don't know. From you and me, obviously there's all kinds of conspiracy theories. There's paranoia out there, et cetera. But there is that, you know, the motto of Antifa and those other movements is it's anarchist. It's basically anarchy. And what is the anarchist creed? The anarchist creed is blow everything up. Just get rid of everything so that we can then rebuild society in our own image. So what are they talking about? I mean, they talk about, you know, for this to happen in the United States, especially, which was the great social experiment, which was the great result, really, of the ferment of the Enlightenment and all that stuff, which was presented as a great success in democracy and all that stuff. What are we saying? Well, we want to get rid of all of representative government and put it in the hands of the few. So what are we talking about? You know, a return to totalitarian, authoritarian government,
control.
Whether it's socialist-based or communist-based or whatever, you know? Now, this is just, that's just our two cents from the peanut gallery. Don't take it too seriously, but it kind of feels like there is an impulse to just blow stuff up so that then they could be recreated, right? And that's kind of weird and scary, right? So I want to close with this, and we'll unpack this, the rest of the prophecy, in our next show. In 2 Thessalonians 2:10, Paul speaks about the coming of the Antichrist, and he says, "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. For those who are to perish because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. Therefore, God sends upon them a strong delusion to make them believe what is false, so that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So, you know, take the language out and all that stuff. But what he's saying is the gloves are off. Across the United States and Europe, church and religious services are not essential, but abortion clinics are, and large-scale protests are. Their secularist elites have further revealed their disdain for faith and people of faith. Look at our famous guy, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio. He famously opined that New York restaurants are way more crucial to the reopening of the city than its churches. Right? And he said that.
Right. He did.
And it's we're in a world in which freedom of worship has taken the place of freedom of religion. And so, you know, that's where we invited to kind of see what's going on, right? We have such polarization. The next part of the prophecy is, are you willing to see no law, no order, no protection for you except that which I myself will give you? And I think that's interesting because the first thing I thought of was the shotgun in my closet. You know, if there's no, if there are no cops, what are we going to do? You know, who's going to protect us? How all these things, says the Lord, that if we seek him in complete confidence with complete trust, and if we seek first the kingdom of God and his holiness, all these other things will be provided as well. Boy, this is really a time of testing, isn't it?
It is. It is. That trust and confidence and faith in God.
We will continue to unpack this this word and beyond in our next show. Thank you for joining us.
These are unprecedented times for our world, our nation, and our faith. Cities are being burned. The debate rages over our national identity, and a global pandemic has shut down our parishes and deprived the faithful of the sacraments. Times like these can challenge our faith and our hope. Now more than ever, Catholics need to utilize technological advances to strengthen their faith. Endorsed by faithful bishops and cardinals, Breadbox Media is answering this need by providing on-demand podcasting that is faithful to the magisterial teachings of the Catholic Church. Our podcasts let you nurture your faith at any location, at your convenience, and at no cost. We are able to provide this free service because of the generosity of our donors. Would you consider giving a donation today to support this vital ministry? Not only is your donation tax deductible, but you will be helping to transform hearts, minds, and our culture for Christ. Donations can be made by going to breadboxmedia.com. Thank you, and may God bless you.